The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 16th day of October, Sunday, 2022. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance. The title for our message today was, It Is What It Is, or Is It? It is what it is, or is it? Well, how many times have you heard people say that? Well, it is what it is, I guess. Well, here last week I invited two men to church two different times. And one told me that, well, he really didn't attend church. To him, church was a good strong cup of black coffee while sitting out and observing nature. That was his church. And, well, and the other one said, well, I'm good. I'm good. That's all he would say is, I'm good. Okay. But, folks, you know, I had instructed the one that... You know, that's what not what God's Word, the Bible says. God's Word, the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, the one command given more than any other is obedience to God. Obedience to God. And the Bible doesn't stutter. It tells you not to forsake the assembling of yourself to the in the house of God, and also make sure your feet find the path to the house of God. And so... And other places more indirectly, but it tells you to show up and worship at the house of God. And so I was telling him this, you know, God doesn't stutter. That's exactly what he means. He's telling you. And so when I witnessed to him, I told him, you know, you have to understand something, that when a preacher is witnessing to you, not just a preacher, when anyone, any Christian, born-again Christian, is witnessing the gospel message, he's just a messenger, just a messenger. The message is from Almighty. You see, it's not good to say no to God. It's just not a good idea at all. And so that's going to pick us up to where we start tonight. And that's going to be in Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 25. And in verse 25, we read this. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whatsoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. Well, here now, a lot of people misunderstand that, and of course our opposition shows. You see there, Jesus was a hater, okay? And, of course, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says no one, you know, had such love as the Lord Jesus Christ and compassion. But that word hate there is not the way we use it often today. that word actually, the definition there is, well, it's to feel extreme enmity toward someone or something. Feel extreme enmity. Now, it is used in other places in Scripture when it talks about sin. God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. God hates the feet that are swift to run to mischief. God hates all of those that commit iniquity. Well, that's where that definition comes in, to feel extreme enmity toward another. Now, in this case, this word hate is used to mean, simply to mean to love less, okay? And so, in other words, the Lord is saying, look, you have to put him first. You can't put anything or anyone, even yourself, you cannot put anything before him. Remember, he didn't put anything, when he hung upon that cross and he suffered like no man ever suffered, and he bled and died, he did that for you. He did that for you. And in other words, he put you before himself. And now he's telling you that since what he did, since he became that sacrifice and what he did for you, now you, to belong to him and to be his disciple, you have to put him first for anything, anyone and everyone. He goes on to say, for which of you intending to build a tower setteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he hath laid the foundation is not able to finish it. All that behold it begins to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish it. Or what king going to make war against another king setteth not down first and consulted whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that hath come against him with 20,000, or else, while the other is yet a great way off, sendeth an ambassage means ambassador, and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that hath forsaken not all that he hath, and he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt have lost its savior, wherewith shall the salt be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out, and he that hath ears, let him hear. And so, here, he goes on to say, when a builder doesn't count the cost, or figures it inaccurately, his building may be left half completed. And he's comparing that with a Christian life built on and then abandoned because you did not count the cost of commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, folks, brothers and sisters throughout this world, the persecuted church, the persecution is worse than it's ever been. Christians are being martyred all the time. It's not even worth a mention for NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN. It's not even worth a mention for the fake news media that Christians are being martyred all the time, but they are. Now, we've had it really good in this country, but now we see that changing. We see the deep state. We see a very, very, very corrupt FBI with Christopher Wray and an extremely corrupt Department of Justice, Merrick Garland, extremely corrupt, going after pro-lifers. Pro-lifers are Christians, folks. I don't think I've ever met a pro-lifer that wasn't a Christian or a believing Jew. They're all, you know, the Lord Jesus said, I come to give you life and more abundantly. God said in his Bible, those that hate him love death. They love death, those that hate him. But those that love him love life. And so here, they're going after now pro-life Christians. They're kicking in the doors in the middle of the night and sticking guns in the faces of little children. Well, this radio program, because we refuse to back down. We refuse to compromise. We will obey God rather than men. And we will not fear Merrick Garland and his corrupt Justice Department, or we will not fear those corrupt FBI agents that have just brought such disgrace and dishonor on the agency. They've dishonored those agents that went before them, the ones that actually obeyed the oath that they took to the Constitution, the good, the clean, and the honorable, and they became dirty. And we refuse to bow down to the dirty. We will not. But I do want to say, for those of you that have kept yourself clean out there, again, I want you to know that I'm not referring to you when I talk about these cowardly agents. I've talked to you. I know you guys feel even worse than we do about it. But you need, listen, the very fact that you're still in the FBI, you have even a greater responsibility than I do to out those dirty agents. All it takes is a couple bad apples to make the whole barrel rotten. And here in this case, he's talking about if you have not counted the cost, have you been prepared? Did you realize that someday they may be kicking your door in? Someday they may be hauling you off. I was listening tonight. I was watching some films of some New Age leaders in the New Age movement, and they're talking about Christians, and they're saying Christians must be eliminated. They have to be eliminated. They have to be killed off. Christians, you cannot bring in the New World Order. You cannot usher in the New World Order without cleansing the planet of Christians. That's what they were saying. And so I want to go now over to Luke chapter 9. And in Luke chapter 9, verses 21 through 27. And he straightly charged them and commanded them, tell no man that the things, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be slain and raised the third day. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself, or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's, and in of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. Now, you know, I really get concerned when I see people that I care about, that I care a lot about, folks that are near and dear to me, with little or no interest in witnessing. Every time you pass up an opportunity to show the world that you're not ashamed of our Lord by sharing the salvation message, you send another message, folks. You send another message. Now, I know there are people who are say, you know, I've tried to do it. I'm shy. I'm an introvert. Well, all right, I can tell you this. You should always carry a pocket full of gospel tracts with you. Always carry a pocket full of gospel tracts. And if you're an introvert, sometimes you get an opportunity in a conversation, Yes, somebody. Can I read this to you? I'd like to read this to you. And just read that gospel tract to them, okay? Or if there's a situation, and it's not, and it's, there are absolutely wrong times to try to witness. And what I mean by that is, I've been in situations where we've been in a checkout line, and the clerk is like very, very busy with people lined up, working as fast as he or she can. And we've had people with really good intentions, wanting to stop and ask them if they know the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not the right place to do that, okay? In cases like that, just say, would you just do me a favor? Would you take this and when you get a chance, read it? I really feel compelled to give you this. The Lord's leading me. And just hand them a track and let them read it. They will, most times they will read it when they have an opportunity, okay? Or if you say something like, I feel it's very important to you to read this, and it is. Other times is I've been with people that really should know better, and we'll be in a restaurant, and a waitress will be working two or three tables, being very, very busy, and they'll want to strike up a conversation and ask her if she knows the Lord, and that's the right thing to do, but it's the wrong time to do it. Because what happens, they feel pressured because their boss is watching, you know, watching them. They're spending too much time at one table when people are calling. And so they'll often just try to pacify you by telling you whatever it is they think you want to hear. Just say that just so they can get away from you and get about their work. And that's not the right time to do that. And in those cases, again, that's why gospel tracts are so good. That's why they are so good. But when the opportunity arises, when you can, one-on-one, or more, and witness to people, and when it arises, it's there, and you don't take it. Well, that's when you send the message. And here, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, this is what he's telling you. My words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father and of the holy angels, folks. Then he says, but I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here that shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. He's talking about the Mount of Transformation. And so here now, again, it's very, very important that you never want to appear in any way, shape, or form to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, ashamed of Jesus Christ. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. And in Matthew chapter 7, I'm having a little bit of trouble tonight. I have to do everything with my right hand. I'm having, I'm still, my left arm and is still not healed up. And tonight it's been giving me fits today, if you will. But in Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 13. Now, we're talking about the very sad condition of the simple-minded, the deceived, the confused, and the counterfeit church. You see, there's a whole lot of people out there that have no idea what it truly means to be saved. They don't. I mean, they're in la-la land. They're clueless. And for several reasons. False teachers is one of the main reasons. It's false teachers, but then they don't understand. It's not about them. It's not about them. And here, if we go over to Matthew chapter 7, and I start here in verse 13. Enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth into life, and few there be that find it. Now, here's a good example of how the King James Bible is such a teaching tool. And I know I've used this Bible, this King James Bible, and it's the only one that you can do, the only real Bible that you can use this way, teaching inmates. So you could have a death row inmate that's got a second grade reading ability, and you take him through the King James Bible, and within a year he can read on a 12th grade level. And here's why. When it says here, enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be there that go thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Well, you see here that word straight really means narrow. So you say straight and then narrow. And here it's two different words with the same meaning. And then here the gate and the way, okay, means the same. It means the same. And so, which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. And so he's telling you that it takes discipline, and it's much harder, okay? If you're a Christian, to be sold out and to understand the cost, like we just read, of being a Christian. He goes on to say, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are they ravening wolves. Folks, let me tell you, the apostate church is filled with false prophets. I mean the very wicked. Let me give you some examples. They're teaching out there in some of the apostate churches that, they refer to Mother God, that God is a woman. They teach that there are some there, especially in that Pilgrim Church and others, that teach that Jesus was a homosexual, that the Lord was a sodomite. These feminists, they're in the Episcopal United Church of they call it United Church of Christ. I call it United Church of Antichrist. Some in the Methodist, they've apostatized to the point where they blaspheme, where they embrace every kind of sin and blaspheme our Lord by saying these things about him, about the Lord of hosts. He goes on to say, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, and neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Well, the apostatized, when you promote in the apostate church, the United Church of the Antichrist and the Episcopal and many of the World and National Council, they embrace every single thing that God's Word, the Bible, calls sin. They embrace abortion, killing babies. They embrace sodomy. They embrace pedophilia. Many of these apostate churches have daycare centers, and they're just to make little children available to sodomites. And so here he goes on to say, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Do you see what he's saying here? Now listen to this. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Okay. And remember when Gloria Osteen said, it's not about God, it's about us. It's not about God, it's about us. Folks, remember when Joel Osteen said that we should live the good life now. Live the good life now. Remember when, and again, we'll look at that again. Here, how many times have you heard this? And I've heard this time and time again. Millions of people have been saved by the Billy Graham evangelistic crusade. Folks, no one's ever been saved by a crusade. People are saved when they hear the gospel of their salvation. When they hear the gospel of their salvation. This is what Jesus is saying there. I never knew you. You guys are nothing but glorifying yourself. You didn't hang on that tree and take away the sins of the world. I did. And so I don't want to hear it. Depart from me. You are glorifying yourself. I remember when I heard Steve Doocy on Fox News. Steve Doocy he was interviewing Rick Warren. He had Rick Warren on Fox News. And he says, will Rick Warren's purpose-driven life gospel save thousands in Africa? In other words, he was saying, will Rick Warren's gospel save thousands in Africa? Folks, he wasn't talking about, they showed planes unloading crates and crates of books, but it wasn't the word of God. It wasn't God's word that was being brought over there to these preachers in Africa. It was Rick Warren's purpose-driven life books. And let me tell you, they were filled from cover to cover. Just filled from cover to cover with intentional deceit. Very, very cleverly devised deceit. And then I remember Barack Obama saying, Jesus is my Savior, but he is only one of many saviors. Jesus is my Savior, but he's only one of many saviors. And then I remember Barack Obama saying, I am the one that you've been waiting for, and I'm the one I've been waiting for, folks. And that's what the Lord Jesus is saying here. He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers in iniquity. It was never about him. It was about themselves. Now here, therefore, he says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto him as a wise man which buildeth his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now that rock is the Lord Jesus Christ in his gospel. Heaven and earth will pass, but his words will never pass away. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man that built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended upon it, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Well, it's a good reason he taught as one having authority. It was his gospel he was teaching. here. You know, when they say, and again, we just talked about it, live your best life now, Joel Osteen. I want my stuff now. I want my stuff now, T.D. Jakes. And here, I think the best one that I've heard yet was from Kenneth Copeland when he said, and I want to go now over to the book of James. And when Kenneth Copeland said that you can make God give you health and wealth and riches, you can hold him to his word and make him produce. In other words, he held up the Bible. He said, he was saying, you can take this Bible and you can make God give you all those material things that you want. And, you know, and he'll take passages of scriptures, like, for example, where the Lord Jesus said that whatever you ask of the Father when he's talking to the apostles, that he will give you. Well, obviously, he was referring to those things within the will of God. God's not going to give you something that it's not within his will, right? If that was the case, you'd have these guys praying, Lord, send me a prostitute tonight, right? Or, send me a snout full of cocaine or something. Lord knows what the Democrats would ask for, most likely little children. But here, in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17, we read this. Go to now. You that say, well, tomorrow, or today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boasting, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him it is sin. Now, when they say, live the good life now, think about this, right? The Lord Jesus tell you that to put up your treasures on one of the mansions here on earth? Did he say that? Did he tell you to become a billionaire, the prosperity preachers? Now, Jesus said to place up your treasures in heaven. In heaven. Why is that? Well, those treasures in heaven will last forever. And what was he talking about? He was talking about your works that you've done for the Lord. Everything that we do, all of our labor, none of it is in vain in the Lord. And so here, when they say, live the good life now, are they saying that the treasures are laid up in heaven aren't as good as these material things that they can be acquired here in this short life? Or are they saying that they really don't believe in the hereafter, folks? Now think about that, because, you know, you have T.D. Jakes saying, I want my stuff now. I want it now. I don't want to wait. Why doesn't he? Joel saying, live the good life now. Live it right now. No, the Bible says no. The Bible says the good life comes in all of eternity in glory. Do these men not know what the Word of God teaches? They know what the Word of God teaches, yet they're teaching a false doctrine, a prosperity doctrine. And the people that are attending these mega church events, they go in there Are they there to worship God, or are they there to say, God, what are you going to do for me? What are you going to do for me, God? And they go to hear, and I've heard so many people saying, and these are unbelievers. These are not people that are saved. They're not. But they go, and they look to hear Joel Osteen because he's got such a positive message. But it doesn't glorify God. It's about what God can do for them. You see, God made us to serve him. See, he has expectations of us. We have obligations to him. These prosperity preachers have things exactly backwards. So, when he says this, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Look, the Lord Jesus preached more on sins of omission than he did sins of commission. When you fail to do what you're supposed to be doing, when you fail to feed the hungry, when you fail to house the homeless, when you fail to visit those that are sick or in jail, when you fail to clothe the naked, when you fail to do these things that is expected as Christians that we do, then that's a sin. That's a sin. Let me read that to you again. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him it is sin. Now, we often tend to think about, well, just doing wrong is sin. But here again, James tells us that sin is also not doing what is right. That's what it breaks down to. That's about as simple as it can get. Now, I want to go over to Mark chapter 3. And in Mark chapter 3, verses 20 through 30. Now, here's an interesting thing, folks. Those crazies out there today, and I mean the crazies, and I'm not saying that to be mean or nasty, but it's just true. I'm talking about those people that don't know what a woman is. Those people that want to turn little boys into girls and girls into boys. They want to legalize pedophilia. They want to legalize. The Democrats have actually introduced legislation to legalize pedophilia, molesting little children. Those that want to put pornography into textbooks. Oh boy, Dearborn, Michigan. Did you see? Dearborn, Michigan is Muslim territory. And did you see, I found it very interesting, the Muslims were not happy with what was being put in their textbooks. They did not want the children in the public school to learn about, to be reading pornography. And so they showed up in large numbers, and they were very, very active. But unlike the Christian parents that show up, where Merrick Garland sends FBI agents in there to try to harass the parents for caring about what their children learn in school. No, they didn't. I didn't see any FBI agents down there going after the Muslims, because the Muslims also care about their children. And I'm talking about, when I talk about the crazies, those that are putting Tampax into boys' bathrooms, and they're doing that. Both in Oregon and Washington, the states of Oregon and Washington. And I'm talking about those, when I talk about the crazies, now in some of the public schools, in the elementary schools, they're putting litter boxes in the closets for children who may think that they're a kitten or a puppy. And folks, believe me, the problem is not with the child. The problem is with these public school teachers. that have become woke, they are antichrist to the hilt. This is why for 50 years I've been on this radio telling you, if you love your children, get them out of the public school. Get them out of there. Get them out of there. If you love your children, get them out of the public school system. I want to go over now to Mark chapter 3, starting in verse 20. And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. Well, here now, the Lord Jesus and the apostles were surrounded by people that pressed hard upon them, and they didn't even have time to eat. They weren't getting food. And here now, and when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said he is beside himself. In other words, his friends thought that the Lord Jesus, through lack of food and lack of rest, was losing it, okay, that he was losing his mind. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth out devils. Oh, that was a mistake. And I'll tell you about that here in a minute. And he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against Satan and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith whosoever shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said he hath an unclean spirit. Well, here what they were saying is that the spirit within Jesus, which is the Holy Ghost, is the Holy Spirit, was Beelzebub. Beelzebub means the Lord of the flies, or the devil. That he was the devil. Now, you have to understand this, because most people don't. They get this confused. And you have to read the different passages of Scripture where it explains this. But you have two sins. One is the unpardonable sin, and one is the unforgivable sin. Again, one is the unpardonable sin, and the other is the unforgivable sin. Now, this sin was done by the scribes, and they represented Israel national, the state of Israel. And because of that, here, if you go over to, in fact, Matthew chapter 12, verses 31 through 33, you see that the Lord Jesus, he says that this will not be forgiven them, talking about the nation of Israel, in this world or the world to come. Now that word, if you look it up in the Greek, means age. It means age or dispensation. In this dispensation, which was at that time the dispensation of law, which was the fifth dispensation period, or the next one, which would be the sixth dispensation period, which would be the church age. Okay, and so he's saying it will not be forgiven, and he's talking about the nation of Israel, in either the fifth or the sixth dispensation. So when is it forgiven? Well, if you go over to Zechariah 13 and you read 7 all the way through chapter 14, 11, verse 11, it tells you during the tribulation period and into the millennial kingdom, for the nation of Israel, the remnant, the true Israel, which is the remnant, it'll be forgiven then, but not until then. Now, on the other side of that, when you have the unforgivable sin, the unforgivable sin is rejecting the offer of salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. To reject that offer of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the unforgivable sin. Now here, if we go, I want to go over to John chapter 15. And in John chapter 15, I'm a little slow tonight. It's been a long, long day, folks. I get started all for early on Sunday morning. John chapter 15, verses, starting with verse 18 through 27. Now here, when they attack life, they attack God. When they try and change genders, when they want to change the genders of people, that's an attack against God, the image of God. That's an attack against the very image of God. When they promote LGBTQ, God calls that an abominable thing, an abomination. That's an attack against God. When they try and change our DNA, when they try and change our DNA with the jab or the death shots, that again is an attack against the image of God, against God. And when they promote drag queens, again, that's an attack against God. And when they promote feminism, they attack God. When they promote critical race theory, it's an attack against God. We represent to the world out there, to those that hate God, we represent God. We represent God. Everything they hate, you see, the feminists hate God, but they can't touch him. So they go after God's most innocent, the unborn. Why? Because the Bible says that they're the most innocent, and as far as the children go, they're angels before the Lord continuously. They hate God, and they hate God's children. Now, they hate us men, too, but they can't do much with us except for trying to make us miserable, and we can do that right back at them, okay? They hate marriage. They hate children. And they want to change boys to girls and girls to boys. They hate the genders. Every divine institution that God has made, the feminists hate. So let's start here. If you would hate you, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, then they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. And if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the words might be fulfilled, that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Well, we in this country so far, we have had it very good. We've had it very easy. The persecution of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the body of Christ throughout the world, is greater than it's ever been. And we've had it really easy. Up until now, it's starting. And they're starting with the pro-lifers. They're starting with the Antichrist deep state. They're really pushing hard against pro-lifers. They're pushing hard against parents who care about their children. They care about their children that don't want their children exposed to the things of this world. And I begged people before, folks out there listening, if you love your kids, get them out of the public school system, because you send your child to that public school system, and some whacked out, crazy teacher is going to try to convince your little boy that he's a girl, or try to convince your little girl that he's a boy. And now in some of these states, crazies like that governor, there in California, Newsom. He's a wicked, evil antichrist. He is a wicked, evil antichrist. They will, what they will do, they will, if you try to stop your child from going in for that mutilation, and by the way, I was listening to the conference they were having, these sick people that do these sex change operations to cut off the breasts of little girls and the genitals of little boys. And do you know what the main topic was? The main topic was not the fact that they promised these children that if you decide down the road you want to reverse it, it can be reversed. They can't. They don't, and they can't. But the main topic was the amount of money. The main topic was a wicked, evil woman, a very whorish woman who stood up at their press conference and said how we stand to make billions mutilating children. Billions mutilating children. Folks, see, this is a very wicked world we're living in now. This is exactly what it tells you about. We've said this time and time and time and time again in 2 Timothy chapter 3, perilous times. These are the perilous times that the Bible spoke of. Now remember this. When it said the perilous times, it said the last days. It qualified them. In previous passages, it said in later times or end times. But here, it was specific that the last days, the days just prior to the rapture of the church and the start of the tribulation period. So we could be very, very close to that. I want to go over to 2 Thessalonians, and I'll be finishing in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Now, from before the foundation of the earth, God chose us to salvation. He tells you that over in Ephesians 1, verse 4. In other words, when he said he was predestined, when the Lord predestined us before the foundation of the earth, that does not what some people are trying to say. They don't believe in predestination. They use a term called Calvinism, which actually they're talking about hyper-Calvinism, because Calvin never taught what they're accusing him of teaching out there. He never taught that you weren't to go out and witness. He did teach predestination, that it's already been determined who would be saved and who wouldn't be saved. Well, that's not exactly true. God knows who will receive him and who will reject him, okay? But God doesn't say, you I'm sending to heaven, you I'm sending to hell. I'm predetermined who will get saved and who won't. He doesn't do that. He gives everybody an opportunity. God is completely, totally just. Everyone has an equal chance. Everyone to, in fact, it's the Bible says that it's not God's will that any at all come short, okay, of salvation here. So here, and again today, we're hearing also, not a day goes by that you don't hear about some of these new age theologians that have discovered egregious error in the King James Bible. You hear this every day. These are false teachers teaching, and many of them out there, there's so many false teachers. And again, we talked about it before. Some of them are teaching that God is a woman. They call him Mother God. Again, the apostate church out there has taught that the Lord Jesus was a sodomite. They've taken texts out of scripture, out of context. And here, now, remember, I heard Obama Biden say that those that preach the gospel the old-fashioned way, meaning preaching against sin, will be charged with the hate crimes. So far, they haven't, but I can tell you this. I truly do expect any night that I'm on the radio doing a radio program like this, like I've said before, I expect that any time the door could be kicked in. Now, if it happens, I hope it happens at the radio station and not at my wherever else I'm at, okay? Sometimes I'll actually do the program from home. But because they like to break things. They like to break things. And so here we read this. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you into salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you were saved through the gospel of your salvation, through the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is where you found your salvation. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Now, remember, we always tell you that God has given us three missions. The first mission is the Great Commission. Second commission from Genesis to Revelation is resistance to tyranny, is always obedience to God. Now, here he's telling you this. Brethren, stand fast. Hold to the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or epistle. In other words, don't give up any ground. Stand fast. Do not compromise. Do not let the world back you down. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work. And so Paul knew that the Thessalonians would face pressure from persecution and false teachers and worldliness and apathy to waver from the truth and to leave the faith. So he urged them to stand fast and to hold on to the truth that they had been taught, both in his letters when he was with them, and also and that applies for us because, folks, we too. I'm telling you, it's coming. We're going to be facing persecution. We're going to be facing, so you got to get ready for it. You know, are you ready to carry your cross no matter what? Remember what a price Peter paid when he denied our Lord three times. It was a heavy price he paid for that. And so we have to be prepared. We have to learn from their experience. We know that there's going to be a price and we have our cross to bear. And that means we stand fast. We don't back up at all. So we're out of time for tonight. And as you know, as we get to this time every night, I think about one day I won't be doing this. Maybe one day soon. Maybe one day soon, like I said, they may kick the door down and stick a gun in my face. But folks, I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to stand down. I'm going to obey God. Like Peter said, we must obey God rather than man. And if I do these things, okay, then I'll have all of eternity in glory to be glad that I did. But if I fail, well, I have all of eternity that wished I had did. Same applies to you. Till tomorrow, good night. God bless, and always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.